Over to my right, being two of the smelliest camels that you ever smelled in your entire lot. We were about 100 feet from those camels, and you could still smell those things. The camels people were supposed to ride, they could ride. But at this place, if you went straight down, jump up. I'm up about 100 feet from here. You went down 100 feet and then out another 150 feet. That's what it would take to get to the sea. But not only that, but where I'm located here, Clayton, Ricky, would you say that we are about a mile and a half to 2 miles from the mark on the road?
Oh, easily 2.5 miles from the mark on the outside.
2.5 miles to the mark up on the road that would take you down to Masada all the way down to Engedi if you went down there. The black mark that was put there by the British engineers in 1951, and it marked where the level of the Dead Sea was in 1951. And where I'm standing on this platform is at least 400 feet below that level and 2.5 miles from it. So what you have there, you see, is that in between probably 1970, after the Six-Day War, when Israel took back the Aqaba from Jordan, and they started pulling the water out of the Jordan River, the Dead Sea had gone from being 12.5 miles wide to about 7 miles wide, and from being 55 miles long to being approximately 45 miles long. I shared it with you. You said, okay, why are you sharing this? Why are you sharing this? That's a nice historical information, right? But why, preacher, are you sharing this? I'm sharing this because on the table right now, actually, it's an agreement. It's an agreement right now between Jordan and Israel. And the agreement is that Jordan is going to provide the engineering and the firms and the construction workers, and Israel is going to pay the price to build a canal from the Red Sea down to the Dead Sea so that they can rejuvenate the Dead Sea. But the same thing is happening that's happened with the treaty about Jordan. The Prime Minister of Israel right now, who is very popular there, is totally, completely reneging on that agreement. But Salah, who was our guide in Israel, was talking about it, hoping that it would, because for Israel and Jordan both. The thing is, it's more important for Jordan because Jordan doesn't have any natural water. The only natural water they have is the Jordan River. They don't have any major rivers that go through Jordan. They don't have any lakes. They're totally, completely landlocked. They're blocked from the Red Sea by Sinai. They're blocked from anything else. They have Saudi Arabia here. They have Iraq and Syria on the north. They have Israel to the south, and the only water that they have is the Jordan River and the Dead Sea. And so they have desalination stations set up on the Dead Sea, and they're having to draw from their people water out of the Dead Sea. Now, Israel doesn't have that problem. Israel's got up at the Golan Heights. They've got up beyond the Golan Heights, Mount Hermon. You've got the three rivers that come together to form the Jordan. They feed into the Sea of Galilee. They have the Sea of Galilee. They have the whole Mediterranean coast. And they even have coastal on the Dead Sea that they have salination plants. They do not have that same problem. So for Jordan, they need this to happen for water. For Israel, they need it to happen for tourism. But the Prime Minister who's there, he's very popular, he just won re-election. He's reneging on everything with Jordan. I remember when we went to Jordan, and I was talking with the our guide on the Jordan River. And we've gone to Petra and walked back up from Petra. I was waiting for the other people to come up from Petra. And I was talking to him. And I mentioned to him, being a Jordanian, I said, what about this agreement that they're supposed to build with this canal? And he said, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I know what's going to happen. And I said, what's going to happen? He says, they're going to build one from the Mediterranean. I said, from the Mediterranean? I said, that means it's going to come all the way across Israel. He said, yeah, but it's only 49 kilometers from the Mediterranean Sea to the Jordan River, and it's 149 kilometers from the Red Sea to the Dead Sea. And they're going to build it from the Mediterranean. I said, I hadn't heard anybody talk about that. He said, oh, nobody talked about it, but it's in the Bible. He said, it's in the Bible. Well, I've read through it three or four times. I've never read anything about a canal being built from the Mediterranean Sea down to the Dead Sea. But our scripture text is one, which comes from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 47th chapter, verses 1 through 12. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my knees. And again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river, were very, very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley, the Arabah, and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the river goes will live. And there will be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the water river goes. It shall be that fishermen that shall stand it from Engedi to in England, and they will be placers for bread in their nets. The fish will be of the same kind as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over by salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for medicine. Ezekiel's interesting. Okay, you see the last six or seven chapters of Ezekiel, the new temple, the new Jerusalem is being built and laid out, and the new temple is being built. And God, by the 47th chapter here, God is now enthroned in the Holy of Holies in the new temple in Jerusalem. The coming of the Messiah, the coming of God, the coming of God's kingdom on earth. And you have here Ezekiel, as he's been laying things out, as the angel has been laying things out to him. Go back and read from about 40 and 47 here. It is interesting how everything's laid out, how everything can be laid out for the children of Israel, everything can be laid out for those who come from the Gentile nations, how the whole New Jerusalem is going to be laid out. It's incredible to read everything that's here. But now he comes back. God is in his holy temple, the new temple, the one that's not created by the hands of man, the one that's created by the hands of God. And this guide, the angel, brings him around to the east side of the temple. And underneath the east side, underneath the floor joists there, the panels of the temple doors, the water is bubbling up like a well. And it says that it comes out and goes to the southern corner, which would take it south of all of the altars and everything in the Hebrew courts. In the course there. And then it flows. And somehow it flows underneath the wall. He takes him outside the wall and he sees the water coming. He goes and he measures from the wall, heading east, down through the Kidron Valley and over towards the Mount of Olives. And he measures 1,000 cubits, which is about 1,800 feet. And the water comes up to the ankles. He measures another 1,000 cubits heading towards the Arabah. And the water is up to his knees. He measures another 1,000 cubits and the water is up to his waist. He measures another 1,000 cubits, a little bit over a mile from the wall itself. And it's a mighty river. So deep that the only way you can cross it is to swim it. The current is so strong that you really can't. Women. He tries. It says that the angel brings him back. He can't get back. The angel brings him back to the banks. And the angel tells him to look. And he sees that the whole bank, the whole thing of the river is grown up with trees. And the angel tells him what's happened. That this river is going to go down, it's going to join with the Jordan River, and it's going to flow into the Dead Sea. And when it flows into the Dead Sea, the Dead Sea is going to be cleansed, and it's going to be a sea of life, and there's going to be fish, and there's going to be commercial, it's going to be given back to its original state, and it's going to be a place of life, and a place of abundance, a place of prosperity. That even in Gedi, even in Gedi, that they would be laying out the fishermen's nets. Now, for you don't know, Gedi is at the very southern end of the Dead Sea. And there in Gedi is kind of an oasis. Nowadays, it's more of a wadi than an oasis. But in David's day, it was an oasis with date palms and pools of water and plants growing up everywhere. But because of the lack of rain and a couple of stuff like that, now it's just a wadi. There's very few trees there, but there are the spots where there is water, and there's still water there. But in that whole area, that's one of the few places, one of the places where the major caravans that were headed through down going towards Egypt, that's where they would stop, is in the Gedi. That's the place when David was trying to get away from Saul. After he said, I got to get out of this cave, you know, and he would go down to the Gedi, and he would, there with the water and the palm trees and everything else, and recuperate a little bit before he went back into the Judean wilderness. It says that the Gedi won't no longer be just a oasis. It'll be a place where the fishermen will stretch out their nets because the fish will be so abundant. Because the river of life has given life back to that which is dead. Go to Genesis, the 2nd chapter, the 10th verse. In the Garden of Eden. with the river of life. Go to Revelation 23, verses 1 through 3. And flowing through the New Jerusalem is the river of life, surrounded both sides by trees, by the tree of life. It says that the trees will give fruit, a different fruit each month, and it will never fail. That the leaves will be used for healing and that they will never fail. But the promise of the coming of the Messiah, the promise of the return, is the life-giving waters. The waters that will bring life back to the Arabah, will bring life back to the Dead Sea. Never restored. No, it didn't come from the Mediterranean. You won't find it coming from the Mediterranean anywhere in the Old Testament. But it does come 20 kilometers from the new temple of God. And it takes us back into the Gospel of John. Remember, Jesus was in the Samaritan country, and he was sitting by a well. His disciples had gone into the town to get some food because they were all hungry, they were all tired, and Jesus was tired. Scripture tells us that Jesus was tired. He's sitting beside the well. It's in the heat of the day when everybody else has already come and gotten their water, but this lady, who was kind of a person of ill repute and her reputation there in that Samaritan village, she had come out to get her water because she didn't want to be put upon and talked down to and made fun of by the other women. And so she came out there in the heat of the day by herself. She comes out there and Jesus asks her, "Would you give me a drink of water, please?" And the lady asked Jesus, "Why would you, a Jew, ask me for a drink of water?" And Jesus told her, "If you knew who was sitting here in front of you, you would ask me, and I will give you living water, from which you will never thirst again." We're at a junction. The last Sunday of Advent. Coming up next Sunday, the first Sunday of Christmas. We look forward to the second coming. To the new life. Even you know, you can take this here, the salt that the marshes, it says that the marshes remain salty, and we can look at that and say, oh, the marshes, they weren't renewed. No. They remain salty because of the importance of salt in their life, the importance of what salt meant in their life. They still, God didn't take away their salt either. He left their salt. If he renewed the Dead Sea, he left the salt. So they could have the salt as well. The second coming. The river of life. We see it before the fall of Genesis. We see it in John's book of Revelation, in the new kingdom, the new city, the new Jerusalem, the new temple. And we see it in Ezekiel, where a well springs up into a river, and a river brings salvation to a dead world. Next Sunday we will be half celebrating Christmas. where the water of life was given to us to save a dead world.